Hi, folks. Before we get started, we'd like to take a moment to let you know some of the content on this podcast may not be suitable for some audiences. It's all in good fun, but we just wanted to let you know. So enjoy, have a great time, and on with the show.
Previously on the Jay and Dan podcast.
Jay Onright is a father.
Created a child.
I was in the jungle, man. I was in there.
You take one leg, I'll take the other.
God, the genius of that.
And then I got to cut the cord.
I found the scissors weren't very sharp.
These kids have problems, folks.
What'd you do with the placenta?
Delicious.
And then I pitched it to work. Back-to-back game sevens, I should go to both. Take a GoPro with me.
You pitched a GoPro story.
Yeah. Never seen one of these, never touched it. I went to game seven at MSG, went to game seven back here in Anaheim, flew out to a buddy's wedding in Toronto.
No. And so how did the story turn out?
The GoPro didn't even have a viewfinder.
It's the summer of Dan.
Not a single person in the building could figure out how to get video off a BlackBerry Passport.
The white Mamba himself.
Like, I would go in the game and be like, I gotta get a bucket for these people, man.
Rapid fire.
Did you ever have problems on the road with beds being too short? Do you ever regret being so tall?
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
You're listening to the Jay and Dan podcast.
Hey! Dance.
It's the Jay and Dan podcast in our old room with the sound working.
I think it's okay.
It's episode 71, No Engineer Jim. The reason being, we've got the World Cup on right now.
Yeah.
We've got the U.S. Open about to start.
Yeah.
And he is our star engineer, so he is he's busy doing actual work.
Doing actual work he's being paid for instead of around with us.
What did you expect?
I wish he was here, but I have to say he has assured us that he personally inspected this room.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh,
he did.
Yeah,
for a full day.
Yep. What?
To
like
make sure.
Hours,
yeah. Oh wow!
I came
I
in here. He
guy.
Was sweating. All the lights off. I don't know what he was doing in here.
We want you to enjoy the show.
I wanted to make sure that the audio was good, and so I think it's okay. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Yes. Welcome to the Jay and Dan podcast.
Patrick, what?
Welcome to the Jay and Dan podcast.
Yeah,
he's still here.
He's still here.
In spirit.
When everything wraps up, when all our massive events that are on Fox and Fox Sports 1 wrap up, we got Jim back. We've got events.
Yeah, we've got as you mentioned, Dan, the Women's World Cup, huge ratings for Fox. Everyone watching. People are loving it. Julie Stewart Binks is at 15 games in 10 days or something to that effect.
And every Canadian host city, I have to tell you, our American co-workers, they are overwhelmed with the hospitality that they're getting in Canada. They can't believe how beautiful it is. Our set, if you've seen it in Vancouver, is actually stunning.
Yeah.
It's right next to where the Flame was, where we did our Olympic stuff.
It would be nice if more people showed up to the game.
The games are getting more important, so they're going to show up.
Why not just give those tickets away?
Hey.
Why not just give those tickets to school kids? There's, as you pointed out yesterday, Dan, you visited our house, saw the baby.
Yeah, I saw the baby for the first time. I saw the baby.
Came over, saw the baby. I asked your daughter, what are you doing right now? She's like, nothing. Nothing in school. Nothing going on. Because it's the dog days of school. It's the last couple of days you're watching movies on some TV or something like that.
The teacher rolls the TV in and she just starts smoking a carton.
Just crushes a carton of Demoriers in the back of the classroom while the kids watch Goonies or something.
And it just kind of shows what kind of youth is living today.
And so why not just have all those kids come out, give them the tickets. I'm saying give those tickets away. Bust them into these stadiums. They fill the stadiums with children who are cheering for countries they've never heard of. But at least the seats are full.
Speaking of doing nothing in the last days of school, my youngest Ruby, she's in a preschool, whatever, I don't know. They just around. Some mom found out that they're going to watch a movie or something the last day, sent an email, said, I don't want this. I want them to be learned. So mom f***ed it up for everyone.
So what, everyone has to learn now in the last day? Yeah. Everyone's like, okay, we're learning. It's
imagine
last
that
day.
Was your mom.
I'd punch her right in the I'd be like, hey, mom, here comes a punch.
I'd like to deliver a few of those. Just to public Just a public service announcement. If you bank with HSBC, withdraw all your funds this instant. It's a f***ing scam. It's a sham. It's a f***ing dirty operation. Withdraw your funds now.
Dan, why are you so upset at HSBC Bank?
No reason. They just laid off 50,000 people, and they've been convicted of money laundering. Great organization.
Ooh. Been banking with them for a while, Dad? Everything going okay?
Not anymore.
A few checks?
My last conversation was, I'll be there when your bank opens tomorrow, and I want it withdrawn all in ones.
Oh, okay, hold on. You're looking at... You got to give us a story.
No, I can't. I'm just leaving it at that.
Whoa, all right. Okay. Because I also used to bank with HSBC, and then I bolted very quickly when I realized that they only had one branch left in California, and every time I went to that branch, it was abandoned. I'm like, I better get my money out of this place.
Yeah, so HSBC, nice f***ing operation you got running there.
I would love to get the president of HSBC. I believe, isn't their head office for North America in Buffalo?
Yes.
I bet you everyone who works for HSBC in like London and Hong Kong, and then they're like, we're sending you to the States. And they're like, beautiful New York City, Chicago. You're going to Buffalo. Have fun. Buffalo, it's the Hong Kong of Western New York.
See, I used to like HSBC. I thought there was a shady side. I like the money laundering angle.
Dan, he likes his banks to have a little shady side.
No more. So I'm open to tender.
I'm so glad I finally remembered this. Beantown Mikey, longtime fan of the podcast. Fan of ours on the TV show at TSN. Don't know how he saw it because he lived in the States. Of Fox Sports Live. He gets upset when our show is preempted, and it often is now with all our big events on the network. Anyway, Beantown Mikey, happy birthday, bud. We really appreciate you watching this show. First poop. Listen, you asked me to tell a story about the first poop
last week. The baby's first poop. It's a well-known, it's documented.
Tell us what it is, Dan. It's called meconium?
Yes, I think.
Is that right? Meconium? What's happening here?
Oh, we have a special guest on the podcast.
What is this, a barba papa? This looks like an avocado.
That's an avocado.
With a lucha libre mask.
It's a poop.
This is baby's first
the
poop
first
right
poop
here.
The first poop wanted to join us on the poop. Podcast today.
This is wonderful. Am I supposed to interview this poop?
No. You can just tell the story.
This is adorable. Well, what I was going to explain is that... Can we just sum this? So we have an avocado in a lucha libre mask and a pair of jeans and socks with holes in them. And this is the
Did
first
any
poop.
Money come out of this supposed podcast budget that we've never seen to pay for this?
But the person in there really wanted to come back onto the podcast. Good friend of the podcast.
I believe that's Ian in there.
Is this Ian Martin?
Sweating.
Good to have you here, Ian. Ian, why don't you wear? Can you wear this for the rest of the night? Can we use this on Fox Sports Live tonight? By the way, this podcast is brought to you by Fox Sports Live.
You know, it's not brought to you by HSBC.
Those guys are avocados. They're delicious and only grown here in California. So anyway, what I want to say is, Dan, the first poop. Thank you very much.
Way to
poop
go, man. Ian!
Great job, poop man.
You can go get out of the poop. Shoot.
Great job.
Get out of the poop chute.
So just to sum up, Mike said he had a surprise for us.
Well, we said we were going to tell the poop story this week, so
yeah.
To enhance that experience.
You had a man dressed as an avocado.
It's a poop. It's a poop. You weren't supposed to pick up on that. It's a very dark green.
Mike Botticello, what a
I'd
guy!
I'd love for you to put together a stage production. I want to go. I want to be. I'll buy the first ticket. I will buy the first ticket.
Like
anything.
Yeah. If you were in charge of like cats on London's West End, it would be all dogs. Just all these dogs would show up, and they'd sing songs about dogs.
I bet you it would be Tony nominated.
Oh, what a guy.
Dogs, the new cats.
I love this guy. Okay. So as Mike said, he wanted me to tell the poop story. So the first poop was... I'm sorry. Was meconium. Meconium is the earliest... Do we have some poop music?
It's maybe? Like a...
Of course we do.
Have you ever seen like a long cut Redman? like chew.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's like what it's
dip.
Like.
Yeah, it's like
that's what it's
thick,
like.
Thick, right? It's
it.
Like tar. It's like dark toffee. It's the. Do we have that music? Here we go. Meconium is the earliest stool of a mammalian infant. Unlike later feces, meconium is composed of materials ingested during the time the infant spends in the uterus. Intestinal cells, laguna, mucus, amniotic fluid, bile, and water. Unlike later feces, it's viscous and sticky like tar. Its color, usually a very dark olive green. So like an avocado, I
yeah.
suppose.
How many wipes? At least 300.
It was like, yeah, it was like trying to spackle. Basically, yeah, was trying to get that.
You need
shit
a spatula.
Off of her. Yeah, to get that shit off of her. But still but this is the problem with it. Okay, that's gone. Now we're replacing it with the yellow poop, right? The milk poop. You know, because mama's milk's poop is like yellow.
Yeah,
but
and it's oh, I would go in. I could take a breath because you gag.
She keeps farting in my face. I change yeah. her. She just like farts.
They have no control.
She's got to start thinking about her. Who's paying the bills?
I was thinking yesterday, and I got the gears from your wife. I wore a Jay and Dan podcast shirt. It was a why not a? And she said, Dan, do you wear any shirts besides the podcast shirts? I said, this is a perfect photo opportunity to get brand recognition with this child.
Yeah.
So well, I have a perfect picture right there.
Well, and this kid is going to be an actor. Like we're going like the kid is an
She's
American citizen.
She's star in Mike's first stage production.
It's called Senior Citizens, the musical, starring my 2 week old child. Or Mike.
Thanks.
I have a parenting question. I was thinking this week.
Yeah.
My oldest daughter, Sydney, she brought up to me the other day. She's like, I remember when you said the S word. Because I don't
whoa,
know.
Whoa. When? Like, you just said it?
No, I couldn't open the door. I said, what the sh-? And I know every house is different. Like, I have friends who swear nonstop in front of their kids, whatever.
You do?
Yeah. So there's never any swearing. So I remember the first time my dad dropped an F-bomb. My brother Vince and I, we were working on the farm. We were working on the farm, and he said, okay, get this done, you stupid arses. When I come back, it better be done. He came back, and we were like, I don't know, spraying each other with gas or something probably.
Yeah, yeah, light goes, a match like the Zoolander.
You're just sitting around here around. And
whoa,
we're like, whoa.
Whoa. Dad didn't like that. Hey, we've got a dad theme for this.
So I have to... I don't know. Should I plan out when I drop my first F-bomb in front of the kids? Should it be a planned F-bomb or should it just be off the cuff?
I say you do it tonight when you get home.
wake them up.
Yeah, wake them up. They're just kind of like, why are you waking us up? And you just be like, because I want to say f- in front of you little ass. And then they'll just be like, oh, daddy, why? And like, they'll be crying, like, why, daddy? Why did daddy say that? Your wife will come in. So you're like, why did you say that to them? They're our children. And be like, exactly. That's what you'll say. Summer of Dan. That's why.
Okay. So tonight's the night.
Dan says f- in front of his children. No. But why? What? I mean, because it was like you and your brothers, you're on a farm, it makes more sense, whereas you have daughters, so it's a little more difficult. You know, like what circumstance would exist that you would have to say that in front
yeah,
of them?
Yell at a car or something.
Yeah, see, that's I mean. It, road rage. Yeah. And you get road rage quite a bit.
I do, I just shake my head at people.
Right, but so you don't actually say, f*** this.
No, I say,
with the
hey,
kids
kid, see
the...
that person there? Should yeah. be in jail.
Right. You drive by an HSBC. Hey, kids, see all the people working at that bank? Should be in jail.
See that bank? I withdrew $200 all in ones. I show them.
I was telling you this story yesterday. Can we get my dad music? I thought he was going to play a lot for your story about your dad.
I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, dude. Tim and Eric. Sorry. We didn't plan. It's my fault. This
we
is
did.
Not,
we
my,
took a,
not, it's not Mike's fault this time. Here we go. Story about my dad.
Tim and Eric are our favorite comedians. They're brilliant.
Think about your dad. What is he like? Well, I'll tell you something about my dad. Let's bring that music down just a little bit.
Did he wake you up to say f***?
I actually am finishing up my second book, as you know. It's called Number Two. There's a lot of stuff in that book where my dad says, like, you better stop this or I'm kicking you out of the house.
So do you remember the first time? I'm sorry to interrupt your story, which
okay,
I do a lot.
Okay, so there's a story in the book, and not to give too much away, where my friend's parents called the cops on me because I left a message on their answering machine saying I was going to slowly kill them via deliberate wrestling moves. But I didn't leave my name.
Oh.
Now, you'd think, okay, if your parents... The wrestling moves, really? You'd be like, oh, they're threatening us. We need to call the cops. No, but they did. They genuinely thought someone was threatening them to kill them with wrestling moves. And so they found out it was me. My dad called me at a party and said, get the f*** out of town right now because we're going to the cops.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was the first
time.
Fear
of God into you.
Yeah, yeah. And he said he was going to kick me out. I had a girl up from university that weekend. He did it in front of her. That was a nightmare. How did we get on that story?
The cops got called to my cousin's house. My uncle was practicing wrestling moves on his children in the front yard.
Your uncle was practicing? Was that that code for molesting his children?
No, he was like, they were doing like pile drivers and stuff, and people were like, what? He's abusing these kids. And the cops came out. He was like, well, we're just wrestling.
That's the thing, though. Like, if you're wrestling with kids, sometimes it can get to be too much. And So, very quickly, I told you this yesterday. U.S. Open. We got the U.S. Open on Fox this week. It's incredible. Chambers Bay, Tacoma, Washington, right? Just outside of Tacoma. Mm-hmm. So my dad has a milestone birthday. I'm like, I'll use my Fox connections. I'm going to get him passes to every day of this golf tournament, all 4 days. He and my mom can go watch golf. He loves golf. So get him the passes. He's thrilled. This is great. He says, you know, but I'm probably not going to go all 4 days. You know what? I'll probably skip the Sunday.
I'm like, biggest day of the tournament.
Dad, you can skip the Sunday of a major? He's like, what's a major? I'm like, Dad, we've been watching golf, I don't know, for 30 years. The whole time we've been watching golf, you didn't know which tournaments were majors and which weren't? He's like, no, not really. So I'm like, so you thought like the craft, like, championship in Boise, Idaho, and the Masters were just the same thing? Yeah, pretty much. So I had to convince him to go on the... I'm like, you should probably go on the Sunday.
He's not going. He's just going to say he went. Yeah, it was great how it ended up there. Saw the putts and the hits and the shots.
Go on the Sunday. Can't wait till we go to
I have
US
a couple Open. Updates. I tried Body Glide.
Ugh. This is going to be bad. Can we get another Summer
It's
of
essentially
Dan,
Vaseline.
Can we get Summer of Dan?
And it comes in a stick form. So it's like an antiperspirant stick.
Yeah.
So you forget that you've had it on all day.
What did you think it was? Like gel?
I didn't know.
Meconium?
So you forget that you had it on all day, and then you sit down to relieve yourself, and then it's like really slick down there when you're wiping. And it's like, whoa, what the
So literally, like, you're wiping with paper, and it just slides away. Just like a banana peel, like, woo!
But you're like, wow, it's, like, really messy, but then it's like, well, there's nothing there. It's just,
right.
Like, Vaseline.
So how do you do it exactly? Do you get on the bed and then, like, lift your legs like
no.
like a little baby, and then just, like...
No, you do the old... It's like that.
Now, do you get the ass in front of a mirror or something?
Well, I can find my butt.
I can find my butt.
Oh, and
Dan O'Toole.
And the
story.
Other update, I mentioned how I went to a buddy's wedding, and I've always been ribbed about how I didn't have an open bar at mine. There was no open bar at this wedding.
You just opened up the can of worms again. A toonie bar at a wedding that took place on your parents' property.
Yep.
You charged us $2 a drink.
Didn't have any money. HSBC was taking all my money.
You were working for TSN?
Yeah, it was minimum wage.
You were working for TSN. You charged us a toonie each.
But here's the thing. After living in L.A., so you order drinks, and like two people are standing next to you. You're like, oh, I'll get your drinks. Yeah. And you get four drinks, and they're like, oh, that's $14. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah, drinks are cheaper here, for sure.
No, there.
Oh, you think they're cheaper in Canada?
Well, $14 for four drinks is a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Here or there?
Yeah, I can't tell.
Drinks in L.A. are way expensive.
At the wedding in Canada.
Okay, I was going to say, you're not getting four drinks for $14.
No, $14 for one drink here.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but it's $14 for one drink in Toronto.
But not at the wedding outside of Peterborough.
But okay, again, why is anyone charging any money for any wedding drinks?
I'm just throwing my buddy under the bus, so I am not the only person that had a toonie bar.
Like, everyone still gets on your case about that, right? Like, they should get on your case about that.
No, I don't speak to most $2 people at my wedding.
How did you come to that conclusion? Were you like, I want to charge $5, and your wife was like, no, we're not charging anything. And you're like, I want to charge $3, and your wife was like, this is ridiculous. The wedding is on our family's property. We're going to go to the LCBO and get booze. We can't charge these people $2 for every can of Bud Light.
And we ran out of booze.
Well, I mean, we were all on a farm in the middle of nowhere.
I think we were down to Jack Daniels and water at the end.
That's a good way to end up at the wedding. Desserts. Can we call up Robert Lucetich, speaking of the U.S. Open?
Our PGA insider is there. Yeah. Robert Lucetich has been on the podcast. We spent a month with him in Russia.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He wrote a book on Tiger Woods.
On Tiger Woods.
And the development there. And our guest today, we're going to get to him in a second, is Tyson Nash. He's been our NHL insider during the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Just a gem.
Just a great guy.
Just found out he lives in Kelowna in the off season. So that means we can hang out at all the Kelowna hotspots.
Earl's. That's the only one I know.
What was the Flashbacks, maybe? There's a strip club that's not there anymore.
Cheetahs? Is it still there?
The Willow Inn?
Oh, and Rosie's.
Yeah, Rosie's, that's right, down by the Grand.
It's always
rocking.
We can
hang out there. Bottom line is I'm just coming over to Tyson's house. I'm just going to show up. Robert Lucetich is on the line.
And Robert Lucetich joins us from the U.S. Open, which tees off on Thursday on Fox Sports 1. We have the early rounds, then it switches to Fox in prime time. Robert, how are you?
Prime time. Oh, man. I tell you, I don't know how it could be a U.S. Open without you two Canucks up here, but somehow we're going to do it without you two, but I don't know how.
So, Robert, how is this course? Because Ian Poulter's the one who came out and said it was ridiculous.
Yeah, look, I mean, it totally depends on how the USGA decides to deal with it. You could turn this into, you know, as I said in my piece today, torture chambers, but it could be that brutal because the greens are so undulating that if you had them fast, you can't stop a ball near the pin, and that's, you know, that would be unfair. So I think that, you know, sanity will prevail, and it won't be as, you know, the horror story that a lot of people think it will be, because I just don't think they're going to have the green speeds as fast, and I think they're going to put water on the greens. But it'll be interesting because the golf course, we've never seen a course like it.
You've already been going out with some of the luminaries of the Fox world. Tim Brando, Joel Klatt. Is this week for you just going to be like a paid vacation? And will you come back in one piece is my question.
It is very, very likely I'll come back in one piece when I'm out with Joel Klatt because he only drinks Red Bull.
Yes.
So, you know, now the problem with that is that I siphon the vodka. So we can just order vodka Red Bulls and he'll have the Red Bull.
It's like you're back in Sochi, Robert.
It's like I mean, did we ever leave Sochi? That's the real question.
In our minds, I don't know if we did. You, me, Schrager, and our producer Kyle Libby have continued an email chain like a bunch of 13-year-old pen pals.
I think that email chain began 2 years ago.
It did.
Don't tell Binksy she's not on it.
Oh, that's right. We sometimes include her, sometimes we don't. So.
Oh God, that's gonna. Oh my God.
I've opened up the can of worms now.
You've made for some sleepless nights in the pink tonight. Poor old Binksy. She's going to be working overtime on that one.
Robert, does Tiger have a shot in hell?
Not really. No, I think we can safely say not really. I mean, he obviously this course in a way, if he went to a traditional U.S. Open, he would absolutely have no chance because he can't keep it on the map. His drivers are erratic. But you know, the USGA did him a big favor. They put him with Ricky Fowler, nice guy, and Louis Oosthuizen, and I think they did that for our Fox. The benefit of
that,
so they keep saying
Oosthuizen. You know what? Oosthuizen said once in an interview that it's supposed to be pronounced Westhuizen.
And that,
exactly.
And that he, but he's like, I don't really care.
Yeah, and that's actually, it sounds like Oosthuizen, as the it's very guttural as the Afrikaner accent is. So you know, they're originally Dutch, so it sounds. It's got that sort of guttural sound to it, so it's Oosthuizen.
Now, you picked Justin Rose to win this, right, Robert?
I did pick Justin Rose to win it, indeed. And there was a big board on America's pregame that said that because I took a picture in front of it. It was so big.
We have to use that big board somehow, Robert. We paid a lot of money for that.
Are we allowed to say the F word on the
Oh, yeah.
On the
swear all you want.
Oh, f*** it then.
Yeah, introduce us to some Aussie
Well, speaking
cursing.
Of which, Robert, when was the last time you said the F word in front of your kids? Because we were discussing this earlier. I haven't said it yet in front of my kids, and I think I should pick the opportune time. So Jay thinks I should go wake them up tonight and just say, what the f*** are you doing?
They're you know 7 and 3. It's might as well do it now.
You know what's amazing is I do not swear in front of my mother or my children, which is bizarre.
So they've never heard you drop an F-bomb?
Not really, no.
Hmm. Wow.
Very disciplined.
And by the way, you two know me well enough to know that there's a liberal sprinkling of the F-bomb.
When you're into the Red Bulls with Joel Klatt, the F-bombs are flying.
And Brando with the Prosecco. I mean,
hey,
oh, my
Robert.
God. But I'll tell you something. Tim Brando, if anyone who's listening to this ever sees Tim Brando in a bar, do yourself a favor, pull up a stool, buy him a drink, and just listen, because that guy has got some stories to tell. He is very entertaining.
I need to get him on the podcast.
I would say the same thing about you, my friend.
Robert, is this going to be a classic U.S. Open where even par wins it?
I was just thinking about I was actually having this discussion. Again, it depends on how he's going to set it up. I feel like it's not going to be that because I actually think the winning score is probably going to be around maybe 7 under par, 5, 6, 7 under par, because they can't get the greens that fast. Because if they get the greens that fast, you could lose them. And if you lose them, that happened one time in Shinnecock, and it was a great embarrassment to the USGA. Yeah. And I know they felt that. I mean, they had to. Tiger, in fact, today was talking about remembering that, saying, you know, I came up to hit my shot, and they said, you can't hit your shot yet because we have to put water on this green because the green was just repelling shots. It was like concrete, and you just couldn't play it. So they had gotten it had gotten out of control. I feel that since Mike Davis has been there, you know, there's been a lot more sanity prevailing. I think that he knows that these greens are on the edge. They're very, very undulating. There's a lot of movement to them, and you just can't get greens that are that when they're going to be that fast. You just can't get them that fast. So it has to be reasonable. I think they're going to be around 11 on the stem meter, which is, you know, for these guys is actually relatively medium in terms of speed. It's not fast, but it will be playable. And the fact is, when you have slower greens, you are going to get better scores.
Robert, before we let you go, who's your dark horse pick so our gambling listeners can put money on a guy who is a long shot?
All right. Tony Finau is my dark horse pick. And I'm just going to let you figure out who the hell that is.
Okay.
But go find him.
Tony
Finau. Because he hits it a mile, and he played the Memorial and played very well there. And I think this kind of golf course lends itself. If you hit it really long and really straight, a lot of guys are going to play short of bunkers because they don't want to be in them. But that's going to leave them with 6 irons and 5 irons into greens. But if you're one of these guys that can really bomb it out there and you go over those bunkers, you're going to catch slopes that will take you down there to 100 yards. And that's just a big advantage when you're obviously, you know, your competition's back there from 180. So I like that guy as a dark horse, but, you know, my dark horse records are not so great. So.
I'll say this, Robert. Dan is tiny for now, but at Sochi, he was carrying at least 50 more LBs than he is right now after all that McDonald's and vodka. We love you, my friend. Have a great time this week. And
you guys are great. I'm going to come into the studio in the next month, and we'll do this whole thing for an hour.
That sounds great, my friend. Have fun.
All right. See you guys.
That's okay. Robert Lucetich, our PGA Insider. You can follow him on at Robert Lucetich, Lucetich. And now time for our in-studio guest.
It's Tyson Nash, ladies and gentlemen. Bring him in here.
Come on in here. Nice. Throw that in. How you doing? Good to see you.
No, we have makeup.
I mean, we can. Now, we got to get you to sign this.
We're going to get you to sign your photo on the Canadian wall. So, in-person signing, so far we've had a few. We've had Jeremy Taggart.
We made sure we got a very high-quality picture off the photocopier.
That is no oil painting right there.
See, we had Wayne Gretzky sign his.
Oh, my God. Look at the sweater.
What do you think of that sweater?
I was going to wear that exact one tonight, but this actually looks more like your sweater, though, doesn't it?
It is. That's exactly how much chest hair I have.
Yeah, I thought I saw you running down the Strand yesterday.
You played for Gretzky. He coached you, correct?
Correct.
Like, this is a bizarre. You're a part of a kind of a small group of people who actually played for the great one.
I love the Farrah Fawcett hairdo there. I love it. You know what? I had Wayne Gretzky bed sheets, wallpaper. When I was a kid.
Right.
And here he is behind the bench coaching me.
Was it just surreal when he shows up? Like, what?
It was crazy. It really was. You know, as a kid, you know, following him, watching all those cups in Edmonton where
I grew
up.
Like, are you even listening to anything he's saying? You're just
staring right at him, drooling, coming out of my mouth. Like, I love you. You know, I want to be you until he cut me.
Right.
And then I was like, my God. Oh, the greatest player to ever play the game. Wanted nothing to do with me. Didn't want me on the bench. Didn't want me wearing a jersey. So I see you picked a spot for me right there, right?
Yeah, right next to Alan Thick.
Yeah, we wanted you next to Thick. And you told us you played some charity hockey with the old Thicker.
I did. He's a big hockey fan.
Yeah.
Not a bad player, actually, too. But, it was really weird, you know, just actually seeing him in person.
Yeah.
After watching him my whole childhood. What was it, the growing pains? Or
yeah,
was it family?
Growing pains. Yeah. You got it.
Now I'm gearing down. I'm getting naked next to this guy before we go out on the ice and in the shower. I was like, this is weird.
And Thick was pretty thick.
And Alan said we give customary back rubs, correct?
Yeah. It was the deep voice. It was the, you know, just everything is so drama.
Tyson didn't admit he got your back.
Tyson, you look tight.
Tyson, I've got a loofah here.
Oh, yeah. It was scary. I didn't know if I should look and see or if I should just... I kind of had to, you know?
I think if you're naked with Alan Thick, you got to check the junk out. Yeah. You're only going to get so many opportunities.
Is thick? That's the question you have to ask yourself.
Yeah. I would have expected a button on a fur coat, but, you know, I can't really say. You know, I wouldn't want him walking around talking about me, you know? Or maybe I actually would. I don't know. We'll leave that.
Maybe.
So,
if he writes a book, if Alan Thick writes a book and it's not called Button on a Fur Coat, the Alan Thick story, I think we're all going to be extremely disappointed.
The shower water was fairly cold, too.
So you're in the booth with the Coyotes.
Yep.
What the hell's going on with that team?
Oh, do we have to go there?
I know. It's so annoying. Everywhere you go, people ask the same question.
Yeah, I thought we were over it. I really did. It's just so frustrating, you know. I love what I do. I want to be there forever, and to, you know, not know if you're gonna have a job next year, the year after,
or where the team's gonna be.
I think more selfishly. Let's be honest. But no, it's awful. Our fans, what they've had to endure over, you know, the last 5, 6, 7 years. Who knows? It's been awful.
You brought something up with me that I didn't even consider. You think they should just move back into? Is it America West still? America West Arena, where the Suns play. So that's where they started. The sight lines weren't great. They wanted to build them a nice arena. Apparently, the arena's beautiful. I haven't actually been there.
It is the best. Best arena in all of the NHL.
That's what everyone says.
The atmosphere around it. You know, obviously it was a real estate you know, I guess investment from the start.
And explain it for people who don't know. It's kind of too far out of town, basically, right?
It's too far for Arizona.
Right.
It's not too far for Chicago. It's not too far. I mean, I grew up in Edmonton. I mean, I'm driving half an hour, 45 minutes to get to the Oilers game.
Right.
And it's 40 below. So you're in Phoenix. It's not the worst thing in the world, let's be honest. But it yeah. is Arizona, right? I mean, you're like, there's a million other things to do. But it's a work in progress. You basically moved it from downtown. You moved to another city way out, you know, almost in L.A.
Yeah.
So you're losing that fan base. It takes time to get them back. They're back. I mean, the fans are starting to come in. You need a winning product again. But this ownership issues, and now with the city of Glendale, it's the last thing you need.
And the worst thing is you have, like, Max Domi and Oliver Ekman-Larsson and all these great young players coming down. And this team's going to be great. And there's a chance it's going to be gone.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even like to go there. I really believe in the ownership group that we have there. I think they're very smart businessmen. That's why they got involved in this organization. Everyone wants to own a sports team, but they're not stupid either. So they know there's something there. And the players that we have, you're right, they're so talented. And we were in the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So,
but here's the thing. You mentioned smart businessmen. They've been given an out, essentially, where they can say, okay, we're going to move it, and then we're going to do whatever the hell we want with it now. But they're still playing the game like, hey, you know, we want to stay here. So I don't know if that's just smoke and mirrors or not.
Yeah, I really, to be honest, I don't know a lot about it. I heard there is an out clause once if they lose a certain amount of money. You know,
well, they lose that every year.
Yeah. So I don't really know.
Okay, let's get
that focused
happy.
On.
Yeah, moving
just,
on.
Yeah.
Let's sign this. Edmonton. You actually grew up in Edmonton, or we talked about this, or did you grow up
Sure
in Sherwood Park?
Park.
Sherwood
the Crusaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. Bev Facey or
Bev
Sal?
Bev Facey, Sal.
Sal, you went to Sal,
Sal
right?
Yeah. Listen, don't insult me.
I know my Sherwood Park school geography.
You've been Googling some stuff, eh?
Like, no, I got it all down.
I feel awkward. Like, you guys are all dressed up. I don't even have pants under this table.
That's how we wanted you here, buddy. We heard about your shower with Alan Thicke,
oh,
and we wanted you pantless.
It's all Thicke talks about.
Yeah.
We actually did have him on the podcast. We had to go to him. I think it was like in a hotel, remember? It was a room. Yep. You and I got in the room. We undressed. No, it was like a conference room or something. But he was a wonderful guy.
He is a sweetheart.
I was telling you, he has a reality show on the Pop Network down here in the States. And every episode, his young wife says, I want to have a baby. And he's like,
I'm going to be 80 years old when that child is driving. I'm going to take my license away.
What channel is it on? Yeah. I didn't know he had a reality show.
It used to be TV Guide Channel. Now it's called Pop.
Oh.
And they play like... Love Boat and Brady Bunch, all the shows that I watch every night with my wife because she likes them.
His hair is still
it's unbelievable.
Perfect. Bulletproof.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a chin strap he's got on or what, but that thing is buckled down. It's tight.
Fine. I'm
so Stanley Cup Final wrapped up last night. I mentioned you were our NHL insider throughout the playoffs on Fox Sports Live. And your take on it. Bishop came out partially torn groin.
Yeah, I can't believe, first of all, what... Everyone plays through injuries, so I don't want to give excuses, but you look at the injuries that Tampa had. You got your goaltender, the most important position in hockey. You got him playing with a torn groin, not a pulled groin, a torn groin. Incredible. And then you got the leading scorer in the playoffs with a broken wrist in Johnson, Tyler Johnson. I mean,
that was, and you could see it as the playoffs went on. He wasn't the same player.
Non-existent.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, though, it comes down to, as we talked about on the show, it was Stamkos. I mean, he really, I love him. I think he's a great human being. He's an unbelievable hockey player. But I think until he can perform on that stage with that pressure, there's going to be some question marks. I have a few myself. I mean, not a goal.
I couldn't figure it out, though. Like, he's great all playoff, and then he just like, I don't know if they just stymied him. I want to go back to Ben Bishop, though, because they clearly have this backup in Vasilevsky who's great.
Right.
As a teammate, are you kind of like, dude, I know you want to play, but you had a torn groin. Like, maybe let the backup come in. Don't be a hero here, you know?
And I would agree with you if Bishop, you know, was
He wasn't bad.
The only bad play he had was the bonehead play that he came out and played that puck.
Right.
I mean, with a good leg, you could come out and play that puck.
Yeah.
So I thought he battled. I thought he was great. I think that it probably would have been a mistake if Vasilevsky went in, but
He's like the second coming of Sean Burke, your old buddy in Zona.
Berkey.
Yeah,
that's right.
He's like a big goal.
Shout out. And now, another fellow big noser.
And like now it. The Hawks have themselves a dynasty.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
Taves doesn't play another game in the NHL. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Kane.
Yeah.
Hossa.
Yeah.
I mean,
I you know what? One of the things I wanted to bring this up to you, and I never had a chance to talk to you about this on the show. Kane, who never says anything really nice about anyone, actually came out the other day and said, Marian Hossa is the perfect hockey player and the perfect human being. It was the only time I ever really heard him give a compliment. And you think about this, you know, because Kane and Taves are kind of the guys there, but Hossa is that sort of all-around amazing player. Not that Taves isn't.
One of the most respected players in the league, right?
Oh,
if not the most.
Without a doubt. I mean, just coming over from Europe, too, and just adapting to the culture and everything. I mean, he's been here forever, but he's just the ultimate professional.
Yeah.
The way he works, the way he battles, the way he handles himself off the ice. I don't know him extremely well, but I've not heard a bad word about this man. So I love to hear stories like that.
And then teaming and everyone's obviously excited that Chemo gets... Yeah. You love those stories, you know, because he barely made it. He had the blood clots.
Yeah.
He barely made it back even to play.
And if you watch the highlights, which obviously you guys did, you were calling them, but you saw the goal that Kane scored. It was Teeminen that he went around.
Oh, he still played great.
And I'm like, how cool is that? Now he gets a cup. He comes here. He gets that opportunity. End his career. He's hoisting the cup, and he can sail off into the sunset. The guy I was happy for was my old teammate, the guy I used to call games for, was Antoine Vermette.
Right, yeah.
The best guy, and this is a guy that was a healthy scratch.
He got the cup the second one.
Yeah.
A healthy scratch. In the regular season, didn't get a goal. These guys were crapping all over him. All over him. Can't play. Too slow. Yeah. I'm like, just wait.
Yeah.
90% of the games he played with the Coyotes, he was the best player on the ice. He goes out 2 game winners in the Stanley Cup Finals.
It's unreal. I mean, it's great for him. I thought it was funny, too, watching it on NBC. You know, you're watching, so it comes out. You knew they were going to give it to Chemo first. Yeah. So Taves hoists it, gives it to Chemo. Then Chemo gives it to Vermette. And then NBC signs off. Yeah. I'm like, wow, we're not in Canada anymore. It's over. That's enough. That's enough.
Wrap.
We got 2 guys.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I didn't get enough.
We're going to do rapid fire. We just ask you a bunch of questions in a row, and then you try to answer them as quick as you can. Or you can take your time.
I didn't sign up for this. You're making me think. Professional.
I mean, that's
intimidating.
We spent millions on that.
If you could hand select one player in the NHL right now to build a team around, what player is that?
Jonathan Taves, best big game player. Not the best player, but the best big game player in the NHL.
Your favorite hockey moment in the NHL?
Making the NHL. When the coach, Joel Quenneville, told me to get a place.
Do you remember your first shift?
Oh, yeah.
And?
Fought Pat Verbeek.
Did you Verbeek?
The Beakers were going at
it.
We poked each other's eyes out. It was like,
wow.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Did you touch the puck in your first ship?
No. Puck was optional. Yeah.
Your most boneheaded moment going to the booth that you've had.
Oh.
Like a moment where you're like, I can't believe I did that, or I can't believe I said that.
When I said that Rafi Torres' hit on Marian Hossa was the cleanest hit I've ever seen. I heard nothing about that from Chicago fans.
Best teammate you ever had?
Shane Doan.
He's a class act too, isn't
class
he?
Class act. We lived together in junior. Yeah. Wonderful human
That's
being.
That's crazy. Yeah. Like his career
and our
is
kids
really
are the same age. And now they could be going to play in junior in Kamloops, living together as well like we did.
Really?
Yeah.
This is insane.
I know. We're old.
As a player and with your teammates, was there ever a team that came to town or that you went into their barn and you're like, there's no chance we win this game? Was there a team that was ever that much in your head or a player that much in your head?
Yeah, Detroit. Detroit back then when I was playing, we played in the playoffs. We lost every year. I mean, Shanahan, Iserman. It was scary. Yeah, very scary.
What's sorry to interrupt you now. What was your favorite city to travel to, like to visit?
Well, I always love Montreal.
Every time.
It's like
every
Europe,
time.
You know? Europe, Chicago. I love them all for different reasons.
Strip clubs.
Who hit you with the hardest punch?
Oh, believe it or not, it was Steve Thomas.
Really?
Steve
Thomas? Stumpy?
Stumpy. And I had no idea what his name was. We were pounding the Hawks one night. I got to be quick, right?
No,
we were pounding the Hawks one night, and I hit Bob Probert so hard I knocked him out of the game. We were winning like 7-2. Steve Thomas, last shift of the game in St. Louis. I got my family, friends in the house. Asked me to go, and I'm like, are you kidding me, old man? I'm like, absolutely. This would be icing on the cake. I'm like, well, we dropped the buckets. You know, we're going. And he hit me with six before I even knew what was happening. My nose was over here. And to this day, every time we see each other, he winks at me. And I'm like, oh, God, oh, my wow. old man just beat me up.
Steve Thomas.
Hardest you ever hit body check-wise?
That I ever got hit?
Yeah.
Chara. I think my shoulder blades touched. And my chest caved in, yeah.
And when you, did you ever get the wind knocked out of you on the ice?
Oh, yeah.
What do you do as a player? You just try to make it look like it never happened?
Yeah, you get to the bench and you want to die. You're like, get out of my way, get out of my way. And the trainer's coming over. He's like, you okay? I'm like, don't talk to me. Leave me alone. And then you puke. Yeah. And I'll never forget. I puked all over the wall. It was Neil, actually. Chris Neil from Ottawa.
Man, yeah, so
he
tough.
Broke my sternum.
Oh, what? My God, yeah. Seriously?
Yeah.
Jesus H.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Wait, you said Doan was your favorite teammate, but who is the best player, the actual best player you ever played with?
Chris Pronger.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I played with a lot of great players, Al MacInnis, Pierre Turgeon, but Chris Pronger, everywhere he went, you watch his career, he won.
He made every team
made
better.
Every team better. Yeah. He was the most dominant player that I've ever played with or watched live.
Speaking of Edmonton, like that cup run, that one year, watching him play on that team, it was like...
And then where'd he go?
He got him into the cup.
Anaheim.
The cup. Yeah. Yeah. And
he
won. Win a cup.
Yeah. And it was the Philly.
Yeah.
And in the... former Peterborough Pete.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
And that's the end of Rapid Fire.
So what happens now? You're done. We're done the year, obviously. You head up, you're going to the Okanagan. You got to play something in the Okanagan.
Yeah, I got my wife. She drove all the kids.
That sounds like
while I've been here.
That sounds
great...
like an O'Toole move.
I know. I know. I know. And that's not even a nickname, man. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, she wasn't happy. Where are you? At the beach. Oh, really? Yeah,
hey,
okay.
You're working. You're studying.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Prep. I do the prep.
Got to do research. You, before we let you go, you wore an amazing red kind of checkered, it was like a plaid jacket, like a Don Cherry jacket. You get asked about the fashion stuff. Were you always into the fashion stuff? Because you make the bold choices.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? You watch all these guys that do games, and I'm like, it's so boring.
Yeah.
Like, bring a little bit of color. Maybe I can get away with that a little bit because I'm in Arizona. And
yeah.
I don't know. I just find it fun. It's our job to bring some personality. And
like, would you love work in Arizona. Hopefully that keeps working out for you, but would you ever want to work in Canada as a broadcaster? Or is it just like, these guys take it too seriously? Because that's kind of how I feel now.
I would love to do network. Like, this was the best experience I could ever have imagined.
We didn't have you on enough. Like, that's the thing. We don't have the hockey deal, so they're sort of like, all right, you guys can have, 3 minutes or 4 minutes. But...
Yeah. That's enough, apparently, according to the viewers. They've seen enough. but it was great. Yeah, I'd love to do some network stuff and wherever, whoever. And wherever.
Nice. It was awesome having you on here, man. Thanks for... Did you sign this? You got to sign this first for us.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can put whatever you want on it.
Yeah. Well, now I got to think. But thanks. I just want to say thanks. I know you guys had a heavy hand in this, so
it was,
appreciate you guys having me.
It was awesome having you on the show, and I'm so glad you stuck around an extra day before you headed back
to the podcast, the famous podcast. I actually cracked it.
Have fun at Earl's in Kelowna on the patio. You look at all the boats there.
Yeah, what's the place? Big boats.
what's the place right next to the water, on the water?
The hotel?
Rosie's. There's
El Dorado.
El Dorado, I think that's it.
The hotel? Oh, beautiful.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice hotel.
Yeah.
Half of the NHL's in Kelowna in the summer.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it's a sick spot. Best place.
I love it.
For a month.
It's where my folks live.
Yeah. Can't wait for a barbecue invite.
I can't
wait. Sign it and get the hell out.
Yeah.
we've got to call up Peter Schrager. We have to do a tape.
We got him.
We've got Peter Schrager on the line. Peter Schrager from New York City.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Peter Schrager from way downtown. Remember me, guys?
Hey, buddy. How are you, my friend? Good to have you back on the pod. Though, as you pointed out last week, you made many appearances, got many mentions. People love you.
Yeah, I felt really honored and blessed. Hashtag blessed. Jay, congratulations, man. This is tremendous news, and I'm not talking about the baby. I'm talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs. This was just awesome, and I'm happy for you. And all you hockey fans, Doc Emrick was just sublime last night. It was unbelievable. It all wrapped up nice, but, Jay, I kid. I'm happy for you. And Dan O'Toole, oh, baby, Dan O'Toole. Can we talk about the summer of Dan O'Toole?
Yes, Schreger, I can't thank you enough. I mentioned last week, it's like walking around New York with Giuliani when I walk around with you.
Giuliani, yeah, sure. Thanks for that one.
He's not a Giuliani guy.
I don't think Dan realizes that 99%
Tyson Nash, everybody.
Giuliani ruined New York, but that's fine.
It was a blast. That was my first time to Madison Square Garden. Now, do you like it since it's been renovated, or do you like the old MSG where it was gritty?
No, I like it since it's been renovated. I actually feel like that is an upgrade, but I don't like Giant Stadium since it's been upgraded. I think for an outdoor football stadium, there was a lot of rustic appeal to the old one, and the new one kind of feels bland and the same for Yankee Stadium. But for an indoor arena, something like that, the new garden is awesome. Before we talk about stadium renovations, though,
yeah.
God damn it, Dan. Stadium renovations. James, can I tell you my point of view on Dan's trip to New York?
Oh, yeah. Oh, please. This is amazing. First, let's get a Summer of Dan drop.
Tube Top Summertime. Let me tell you. I see him, and he's got, like, neon green sunglasses on in a hotel lobby, Jay.
Now, that's a lie. I stepped off an elevator, and you're standing
God.
There.
Oh, my God.
He's got this GoPro, but there's no, like, apparatus to use it, so it's basically just, like, a 3-inch square of a, like, digital camera, but there's no viewfinder, so he's got this thing in his hand.
Oh, my God.
He points it in my face, and he's like, talk! I'm like, is there a microphone? It was amazing. He's staying at the worst hotel you could imagine. It's, like, a block from Madison Square Garden, which is literally where Giuliani forgot to renovate. It's just so on earth, this area. He's all smiles, so we get to the bar beforehand, and Jay, he's drinking Cosmos.
Why were you drinking Cosmos?
It's a nice summer beverage, but I got them to put it in a cocktail glass, not a martini glass.
Oh, God.
We're in, like, a kind of grimy sports bar, and he's drinking Cosmos. It's just Babe in the Woods. It really is.
Oh, God. What is this, Sex in the City 3?
He's drinking Cosmos. Look at the pinky up. He's out. And he's ordering apple teenies and
delicious.
I mean, just tremendous.
So good.
So we're going to a pretty.
So many things wrong with this.
Jay, are you with me?
Beer, oh my God, I'm dying.
Beer fills me up.
We're going to a pretty trendy, like, lounge after the game. I won't lie, we had a few. It was amazing. Great night. I wake up the next day. I'm pretty banged up, right? And it's like 11 in the morning. And I have an email waiting for me, 7 a.m. Dan's already in the air. He's on the way. The guy's been on a total rampage ever since. I am exhausted by the thought of what Dan O'Toole has been up to this summer. I honestly think we need to rent out the avocado room.
Yeah.
We need to fly in Guy Boudier. We need to fly in Stuntman Stu. We need to sit Dan down, and we need to have an intervention.
It's intervention time.
No more Cosmos. No more Dan on the loose. It needs to be the end of the summer of Dan, because I'm exhausted thinking about what this guy's been up to.
I'm Schreger. If people go to New York, tell them your buddy's bar. It was actually a great time there, even though I was drinking. I actually had a whiskey there because it was called American Whiskey.
Time. I'm going to give it a little plug. It's called American Whiskey. It's like the Rangers and Knicks pregame bar. It's about a block away from the Garden. There's other places. They're all terrible. It's all slobs coming in from Jersey and Long Island. This place is for New Yorkers. It's cool. It's kind of upscale. We actually saw some C-list celebrities. One of Francesca's producers was there. There's kind of an olive branch there. Dan acknowledged him, which is nice.
Oh, that's good.
Mongo Nation.
Nice. It's a good moment.
Nice. Are we going to get invited to the big convention, the Mongo Nation convention this year?
If we
year,
pay
maybe?
For our tickets, I'm sure we will.
FranceseCon, that is during Super Bowl week. I would love to go. We'll see if we can all make it there. But I do have a quick story for you guys in addition to Summer of Dan I wanted to share with you. I'm going to pat myself on the back here because I am just an inspiration for everyone that's American, Canadian, and for whatever country this guy was from. Here's the story.
I hosted America's Pregame, the show that won Tyson Nash was on with me. It was wonderful. A couple of weeks ago, Jay, you were busy giving birth, or your wife was. Someone was.
I was cleaning up the meconium.
I was on that show. So Duncan Keith to your show's Kimo Numanen. How was that?
It's close. Close.
Close.
You're right in the wheelhouse.
I looked up the guy's name. I typed in Teppo Numanen. Is he that one?
Teeminen, but they're both Finns.
All right. So I finished that show, and I think I'm done, and I'm on a high, and I bump into one of your producers, whether it was Sam or Zeus, one of these guys, and they're like in a frenzy, and they're like, Ryan Field, who's one of the hosts of the show when you guys aren't in, they're like, he's still in wardrobe. Holy crap, there's this UFC guy here. He's been waiting. Like, someone needs to interview him. Schrager, you've got to do it. Now, look, I don't know crap about UFC. I don't know anything about mixed martial arts other than I used to love that Kimbo Slice from the Porto video.
He was great.
From the backyard.
Oh, he was good.
I love that guy.
Oh, man, that
so
beard.
I know Kimbo Slice, and I know Ariel Helwani because he was on your show once.
Yeah, he was good.
All right? And I know Tank Abbott because that guy is just a classic. So I know those three names. I know nobody else. Jay Glazer, that's it. So I go and I'm like in the suit, and I meet this guy, and literally he doesn't speak a lick of English, and someone tells me, oh, he's a huge underdog. He fights in some fight in a couple of weeks. He is a huge underdog. That is all I needed. I look at this guy in the eyes, and I am ready to go. I'm on a high because I just hosted the show, and I met Tyson Nash. So I'm on a high. I look at this guy, and I'm like, no one thinks you can win. Everyone here is telling me that you are a huge underdog and that you, Vegas, everyone's picking against you. You've got no shot. Now, I don't know if this guy speaks any English. I don't know if he even knows what the words are coming out of my mouth, but he's nodding his head, and he's got this look in his eye. And I go, I believe in you, man. I think you can win. You're fighting a guy named Cain Velasquez. And inside my ear comes one of the producers. They're like, it's Velasquez. Not Velasquez. I'm like, you are fighting Cain Velasquez. Everybody tells me he's going to kick your ass. It's in Mexico City. That guy is from there or something. He's got some connection. You have no shot. Everyone's counting you out. And he's looking at me ready to tear my head off. But I'm like, but I believe in you. I believe in you, Fabricio Werdum.
Yeah.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
He's like, thank you. Thank you. And he tells me that the crowd is going to be 99% for the other guy. But all he needs is himself and his team, and he can beat him. And what happens this past weekend? Well, I have no idea, but I checked Twitter. He won the fight.
He won it.
Won the fight.
Because of your pep talk.
He got the Schrager bump.
He got the Schrager bump. I am so fired up for Fabricio Werdum. I love this guy. He is my favorite UFC fighter. Ariel Helwani is my favorite UFC writer. And Kimbo Slice is my favorite security guard in those porn videos and in the backyard.
But I said to someone, oh, Werdum won the... Well, he's unified the title. It's all his now. This is great for the UFC. They're like, he's going to fight one more time and then retire. So that's...
Wait, how, why? Why is everyone so down on Werdum? I love this
guy.
No,
I like him too, but he's older than you think. He's up there. He wants to hang it up, Schrags. He wants to move on.
Well, hey, I'm watching sports and I see, you know, ageless Leandro Barbosa score. I see ageless David Lee. I see ageless Megan Rapinoe. Soccer reference.
Hello.
Age is just a number, my friend.
Schrager, we can't thank you enough. Thanks again for your tour around and for making sure I didn't get in any trouble in New York.
Apple teenies.
Apple teenies. Rent out that avocado room, Botticello. Do that. Is Mo Bounty back or is he in
some
place?
He's here.
Hi, Pete.
Love you, Pat. Love you, buddy.
See you, Schrags.
Talk to you, Schrags. You can visit Peter Schrager on Twitter at @pschrags, S-C-H-R-A-G-S. We didn't get to any of our letters. Nothing.
I know.
We'll get to those
We didn't get to touch my bag. Can we just hear the stinger at least? Because I love it so much.
So we'll get to that. We've got so much to get to. It's just a matter of catching up because we were off those couple weeks.
Amara Baptist, girl who voiced that for us, who works for Patrick, actually, in the social media department, she's the sweetest girl. We made her say that she it's time to touch our bag.
She was perfect for the role. We auditioned many, but she won it.
Visit jayanddan.com. You can catch up on the podcast there. You can go to YouTube. You make sure to watch FS Live.
Every night, 11 Eastern, Fox Sports 1.
And then we'll give you all the Twitter handles and stuff next week. We're just out of time. And
yeah,
thanks
sorry.
Again. Don't bank with HSBC.
Wow.